came alive to me. We began to do a study on arrows and bows. I looked up every scripture in the Bible that talked about arrows and every scripture in the Bible that talked about bows. And so today I want to talk to you about arrows and bows. Well, the name of the message is, Train My Hands for Battle. Train My Hands for Battle. I want to pray, and then we'll look at what the Lord has to say to us today. I want to pray, if you will, I want you to stand with me. I want you to pray for me. I don't want you to pray in your understanding. I want you to pray in your spirit. Paul says, what is it then? I shall pray with my spirit, and I shall pray with my understanding also. I ask you right now just to release your prayer language and just pray in the spirit for a few seconds. Release your prayer language, which will drive the enemies away, or allow the word of God to come upon us the way it's supposed to this morning. Father God, Father, I receive the prayers of the Spirit. I receive the prayers of the Spirit, Father God. Minister now to our hearts, O God. Minister now to our hearts. I receive the prayers, and Father, I pray that each heart here receives the prayers. And Father, you've done the work. You've done the work now that we can go in and plant the seed, and it can bring forth fruit, Father God, fruit that remains. Father, these trees can produce the fruit, that lives can partake of that fruit and become very beneficial in the name of Jesus. We all say, amen, amen. Thank you. And be seated. You will look at me in your Bible to the book of 2 Corinthians, chapter 10. We'll start there. I believe that what I'm going to tell you today is so important. It's so important that it will be the difference between angels and demons being in your home. Say it again. I believe what I'm going to tell you today is so important. It'll be the difference of angels or demons being in your home. If you can receive what I'm going to try to say to you, then you'll have the power and the weaponry to drive away the demons. And you'll have the ability to have the angels posted there and guarding you. Not only you, but yours. Not only you and yours, but ours. Amen? There's a you, there's a your, and there's an our. And that's what Dr. Cash was talking about just earlier. You've got to be one. I just can't be interested in what I think. I've got to think corporately. I've got to have a one mind, and the mind has got to be the mind of Christ. And everything that I do must be, the final line must be, the bottom line must be, the Word of God, the mind of Christ, His will be done. 2 Corinthians chapter 10, I want to start reading at verse 3. Read verses 3, 4, 5, and 6. For though we walk in the flesh, we do not war according to the flesh. Say, we do not war according to the flesh. We do not war according to the flesh. We've got to understand that, folks. One day it's going to strike us. One day it's going to smite us. We can no longer see one another according to the flesh. We've got to start seeing each other according to the Spirit. Because we've got to understand that we wrestle not with flesh and blood, but what? Principalities and powers and things that we really can't see in the natural. That's why this warfare has got to be in the Spirit. You've got to understand that there's spiritual forces, positive or negative, that's motivating each life, everywhere, any place. Anybody you encounter in your life and also is motivated by a spirit. Okay? That's why we want the baptism of the Holy Spirit. We want to be totally whelmed and consumed in the Holy Spirit so that everything that we do, every thought that we have, every act that we participate in is motivated by the Holy Spirit, baptized in Him, motivated by Him. It says that we don't war in our flesh. The weapons of our warfare are not by flesh. Verse 4. For the weapons of our warfare are not of the flesh, but divinely powerful for the destruction of fortresses. King James says strongholds. The weapons of our warfare, when we understand and can grasp the weapons of our warfare, they're not only for flesh, they're not at all for flesh. What are they for? They're divinely powerful. They're divinely mighty. They're mighty through God. But we can't do it as long as we're warring in our flesh. We've got to step out of the flesh and into the realm of the Spirit. We've got to understand the weapons of the spirit realm. How many of you really realize that you're in a war? Let me promise you this. If you don't realize it, you will realize it. Okay? One day it's going to dawn on you this thing is really real. There is really a devil out there. And that devil has a wile, has a plan, has a scheme to destroy my life and my children, my church, my city. He wants to take everything I got. But you got weapons that if you put them on and you use them, that nothing that he forms against you shall prosper. No weapon formed against you shall prosper. We've got to get out of the flesh, though, don't we? Then it becomes divinely. After we get out of the flesh, then it becomes divinely powerful. It becomes divinely mighty in God. Once we leave the flesh realm, verse 5, because we are destroying speculation. King James Bible says imagination. We are destroying speculation and every lofty thing raised up against the knowledge of God. And we are taking every thought captive to the obedience of Christ. What are we doing? We are. Say we are. We are. It's got to strike us that we are doing these things. We are taking. We are doing. We are getting the knowledge of God. We are getting our thoughts captive to the obedience of Christ. Say, I want to be obedient to Christ. Say that. I want to be obedient to Christ. Because the next verse is going to tell you something. If you're not obedient to Christ, then obedience can't judge disobedience. There is going to be a people that will be obedient to Jesus. There's going to be a people that are so obedient to him that disobedience can then be judged. That the gates of hell can never be kicked down. The gates of hell can never be overcome until there is a people who will sell out everything. And the only thing that really matters is what Jesus Christ says. And until that people come, the gates of hell will not fall. Until that people come, the Lord Jesus Christ cannot come because he says when he shall appear, we shall be like him. So that's what we've got to grasp and we've got to understand is that verse 6 says, and we, that's the church, we are ready to punish how much disobedience? All disobedience right now. Whenever your obedience is made full, your obedience is made perfect, or when your obedience is completed. When the church comes to the place of fulfilling obedience, disobedience will be judged. There's not a standard yet listed to judge disobedience. There must be a standard raised. There must be something to judge disobedience by. There has to be an obedient people. How many want to be obedient? Okay. But how many find that just the time you decided you're really going to be obedient, here comes something. And then you find yourself stepping out of the spirit into the flesh. Phony. Am I right? You know I'm right. Now, what we're talking about today is getting ready for warfare. Look with me in Zechariah chapter 9. Now, Zechariah is not that hard. If you will turn back to the first book of the New Testament, which is Matthew, back up one book, that'll be Malachi, back up one more book, and that'll be Zechariah. Malachi minus 1, okay, equals Zechariah. Chapter 9. Well, I just showed you that the weapons of our warfare are not of flesh. The weapons that you and I use are not weaponry of flesh, but they're weapons of God, divinely used, divinely powerful, divinely mighty. Zechariah, I still have some pages. Zechariah chapter 9, verse 13, says this, I will bend Judah as my bow. Now, the King James Bible says, I will bend Judah for me. But he's giving you an image there of a bow and arrow. And the bow is being bent, like this. That's what he wants you to see, is the bow is drawn. And he says the bow is what? Judah. Is Judah a people, or is Judah a fleshly instrument? What is Judah? Judah is people, a people of praise in specific. It's not a carnal weapon. So I want you to see. He says, I'm going to bend Judah, and I'll make them my bow. Judah will become my bow. What I want you to see is the weaponry of God is always in people. He's going to take you and he wants to make you a bow. A bow to shoot something out of that will come against the gates of hell. Am I right? Say, I am a bow. You are, I'm telling you. You don't realize that, but you're a bow that God wants to take and bend and fling something out of you that will come against the gates of hell and will penetrate the kingdom of darkness. He wants to missile something out of you that will come against the kingdom of darkness. How many see what he's saying there now? For I will bend Judah as my bow. I will fill the bow with Ephraim. That's another people of God that becomes arrows. But my what I want today is the people that becomes the weaponry of God. And I will stir up your sons, O Zion. How many of you have already come to Zion? You have already come to Zion. That's what you have, whether you know it or not. If you are born again, born of the Spirit of God, then you have come to Zion. And you are a child of Zion. And many of us have sons and daughters in Zion right now. How many of you want your sons and daughters stirred up? Stirred up. And He wants to take them and stir them up as that bow. He wants to stir you up as that bow. Because you're a son and you're a daughter of Zion. He says, I will stir up your sons, O Zion, against your sons, O Greece. And they realize that Genesis chapter 3 says that there will always be enmity between the seed of the woman and the seed of the serpent. There's always somebody. There's always something that there's a warfare going on. And he wants to take the people of Zion, the people of God, and make them a weapon against the evil forces, the spiritual forces in the earth. I will make you like a warrior's sword. Then the Lord will appear over them, and his arrow will go forth like lightning. How will it go forth? Like lightning. He's going to take you and make you a bow. He's going to put something in you that will come forth like lightning. It'll go forth like lightning, and the Lord God will blow the trumpet and will march in the storm winds of the south. Now, I've got to give you an image. Okay, is he really going to shoot that thing? Yep, he's really going to shoot that thing. Don't get nervous. I'm very good. I'm just glad you come to this church. I thought I'd get everybody. I hadn't shot for 5 years until Saturday. And I came and I wanted to see how I would do before I prepared a little differently for this message. How many of you see? I prepared a little bit different. And so I came and I warmed up a little bit. And it's completely safe. We're going to take that wall down anyway. But I want you to get a picture of what he wants to do with us. I'll probably shoot two or three here. And what I want you to see is a couple of things. First, the lightning speed that the arrow goes. Okay? He said, that's what I'm going to do. It's going to be like lightning. He's going to send it forward. I want you to see from what part of my body it appears that this arrow will be coming. All right? I want you to see, get a visual image of what God really wants to do with us. You ready? How's that? He really shot it, didn't he? Now notice this time, you saw the speed, you heard the twang, and then you heard the, that's what it's going to be. That's the kind of, the Lord God wants a people that will say something and it happens. Like lightning. Okay? Now watch where it's coming from. You'll see that the arrow comes right here. Coming forth, if it would have come from my body, it would come forth from my mouth. Now, that's enough. I might miss if I keep on. Lance, if you'll draw those out and put them back in my quiver for me. That's what he wants us to see. Is that there's something that you and I possess. He wants to make a people a bow. And from that bow, from that people, he wants to go against the seed of the serpent. He wants to go against the evil forces in the earth today. And he wants it so much that it's like lightning, that when it's spoken, it happens. He wants it to be an understanding that it's going to come out of our mouth. It's going to be something that's spoken. And it's going to be the word of God. We already know that. But God will have a people who will be his bow, his instrument of war, to hurl arrows or missiles at the enemy. Who knows we have an enemy? Now, I want to look at the negative aspects of the arrows in the Bible quickly. I'm not going to linger here. I'm just going to show you that the words that you have, Bible says, Jesus says that by your words you are justified and by your words you are condemned. If we speak the wrong words, he will judge us. I want to show you the negative aspect of the arrows. Look at Jeremiah. You'll back up some more. Probably turn to Isaiah and then turn over one book to the right. will be Jeremiah. I'm trying to help you just get there a little quicker. Jeremiah chapter 9. I want to read verse 8. God says, and we just read in Zechariah, he says, I'm going to take a people and I'm going to make them my bow. It's going to be a praising people, and we could go in that one direction, but I want to make it a little bit broader than that. He says they're going to say something with an arrow. An arrow is going to come forth from them, and it's going to come against the enemies of the kingdom of God, the enemies of God. It's coming against them. And in Jeremiah chapter 9, I'm just going to throw this negative aspect of the bow and the arrow, and then we're going to leave it. I just want you to see what your words do, what my words do, what our words do if they're not of God. Jeremiah 9, verse 8. It says, their tongue is a deadly arrow. It speaks deceit. Now, let me tell you who he's talking to here. He's talking here to Zion. He's still talking to the people of God. He's still talking to the people of God. And he says that their tongue can be like a deadly arrow. Their tongue can speak deceit. And with his mouth, one speaks peace to his neighbor, but inwardly he sets an ambush for him. Shall I not punish them for these things, declares the Lord? On a nation such as this, shall I not avenge myself? And then he says that he will avenge a nation that goes around shooting each other. And we've got to grasp this negative aspect of this, of the arrows. And I'm not going to stay here because I don't want to dwell on the negative. But our arrows can be just like this. They can just as quickly penetrate the target for good, or they can be shot out just as quickly and just like lightning and do just as much damage to a person. How many of you have ever been pierced from a tongue that shot an arrow at you? Come on, I want to see some hands. I know everybody in here should have been. If you happen to be there again, I know I won't even say that because I don't want you to be. But particularly, if you hang around the body of Christ long enough, you're going to get hurt. Now, they don't mean to hurt you. Everybody feels they're doing right at that point in time. But at the same time, it still comes, and it still penetrates, and it still wounds. And we've got to understand that, folks. We've got to grasp the truth that my words are an arrow. And I can take any one of you and I can hurt you right now. Right now. That fast. Did I not? We've got to grasp that. We've got to get out of the realm of the flesh. We've got to get into the realm of the spirit. Our weapons are not against one another, people. What are they against? Gates of hell. That's the answer. Okay. That's all I'm going to say. Excuse me. Psalms 18, and then we'll, Pastor Tebow quoted it this morning, had no idea. In fact, you quoted about two or three of them that I'm going to be looking at. We're looking at a lot of scriptures this morning. You just don't look at quite as many scriptures. And I want you to see something. Psalms 18. Start at verse 30. This is a song of David. He sang it after his enemies had been conquered. I'm just reading a portion of it. Verse 30 of Psalm 18. As for God, his way is blameless. The word of the Lord is tried. He is a shield to all who take refuge in him. For who is God but the Lord? And who is a rock except our God? The God who girds me with strength and makes my way blameless. He makes my feet like hinds' feet. And what that means is it means he keeps you from stumbling. If you are in the Word of God and you're shielded about by him and you're consumed by his spirit and you're wanting to walk in him, then he'll keep your feet from stumbling. He'll keep you from making mistakes. Your feet will be like hinds' feet. He protects our feet from slipping and stumbling. And sets me upon my high place. That's the place of warfare. That's the place of battle. He that has the high place has the advantage. Verse 34 is the one that I'm particular after. It says, he trains. King James Bible says, he teaches my hands for battle so that my arms can bend a bow of bronze. What does he teach your hands to battle to do? in the bow of bronze, shoot an arrow, becomes some weaponry of warfare that he can penetrate darkness with. And he says he teaches your hands to battle, or he trains your hand to battle. And I'm going to come back to that verse because that's one of the key verses of this message. Verse 35. Thou hast also given me the shield of thy salvation, and thy right hand upholds me, and thy gentleness makes me great. Do you realize that the Lord can make you look good? Amen? Did Noah look good? When the storm come, how did Noah look? Come on. Right. Did Moses look good? Sure. Peter. These guys were made to look good by the Spirit of God. And the Spirit of God wants to make you look good. He wants to make you look good. Thou dost enlarge my steps under me, and my feet have not slipped. Now, the Lord is ministering to us, and what we want to grasp from this particular verse and passage is verse 34. Of course, that's what we're after today. It says that he trains my hands for battle so that my arms can bend a bow of bronze. He trains, or he teaches my hands to battle. Now, how many believe that I could have just walked up here, never have picked that bow up before, and flung a couple of arrows into that target? Was never practicing, was never training. I mean, do you think that I could have? Would somebody like to come and try? We're going to take the wall down anyway. There's base cabinets over there, close, and he doesn't want anybody flinging arrows over there. What I'm wanting us to see is he trains your hands. There are some things, folks, that we've got to learn to train ourselves to do. We've got to learn to train for battle. I talk to people all the time that don't do the necessary things to battle, that don't do the necessary things to war, and they wonder, why in the world is this happening to me? Why in the world is the enemy getting the upper hand on me? Well, it's simply because they're not trained for battle. They want to battle, they want to win. Everybody wants to win, but nobody wants to train. Am I right or wrong? It takes some training. You've got to train yourself. You've got to bring yourself into subjection. You've got to do some things in your own self that will train you for battle. And I want to emphasize this. He'll teach you if you'll let him. He'll minister to you. He will show you what to do. He'll train your hands to bend the bow of bronze so that you can penetrate the darknesses of the devil. If you don't train yourself, you'll never hit the target. You'll never be an influence in the kingdom of God. You'll never penetrate, you'll never do any damage to the kingdom of darkness if you don't train yourself. I'm saying you won't go to heaven, but you'll go to heaven defeated. Are you hearing me now? How many want to be a warrior of might? How many want to pull down the fortresses of the devil? How many want to kick in the gates of hell? How many want to see our area and our children and our lives righteous before God? So when we do appear, he'll say to us, well done, my good and my faithful servant. See, it takes some training. And he says, he trains my hands for battle. He teaches me how to pull the bow of bronze. Bow of judgment. Bronze is always judgment in the scriptures. He teaches me how to do that. So I want to just emphasize that the Bible teaches us that he will train us. He will teach us how to release that arrow. He trains my hands to war. He trains my hands to battle. I want to give you five things that become arrows for the bow. Five things that you have to practice. I can't fling these arrows without practicing and not hit my target. I can shoot a lot of arrows. And even you can shoot a lot of arrows and something's going to hit something. But what I want to hit is what I'm aiming at. Now, what I'm trying to show us today is that there's a training that goes on. This training will become arrows and cause you to bend the bow of bronze successfully. I want to give you five arrows. Five arrows that will load your quiver. I've got five arrows in my quiver. I'm going to shoot them all in a little while. And I won't hit the target if I haven't practiced. The first one that I want to give you, the five arrows, is prayer. Prayer. The first arrow that you have to have in your quiver is prayer. Am I right? Does he say in Ephesians chapter 6 and verse 18, pray in the Spirit how often? At all times. Let me tell you this. If you're not praying, you're not winning. If you're not praying, you're being defeated. Jude 20 says, building up yourself on your most holy faith, praying in the Holy Spirit. You will not be built up, you will not be edified, you will not become strong and powerful if you do not pray. The first error that we've got to grasp and understand is the error of prayer. How many realize that it takes some practice to pray? If you have not practiced praying, you'll say everything you know in about 3 minutes, and it's done. But when you practice praying, when you pray regularly, and you begin to get successful, and you begin to hit targets, and you begin to see things happening in your prayers, then you'll begin to get more regular about it. But if you don't practice it, and if you don't do it, you'll never get good at praying. Jesus said in Luke, the disciples came to Jesus and asked Jesus in Luke 11, verse 1, it says, teach us to pray. Somebody said you have to learn how to pray. Am I right? And if you don't do that, then here's what you're doing. With your first weapon, your first arrow, you're taking it out of your quiver, and the enemy has disarmed you from that arrow. Now I've got four arrows. Second arrow that you've got to have is praise. Second arrow you've got to have is praise. You don't have praise, you will not learn how to come before Him in His courts of thanksgiving, and at some point gates of thanksgiving into His courts of praise. You will not. The Bible says, bless the Lord at all times, and His praise shall continually be in my mouth. Now, why was it in my mouth? Okay. Are you seeing this? Something's coming out of me. My prayer life is warfare. I'm shooting arrows into the darkness, into the kingdoms of darkness. My praise becomes a warfare. I begin to shoot praise. I begin to shoot arrows into the kingdoms of darkness. And I've got to learn how to praise God. How many of you came to this church and you've been here for a period of time and you came here and you didn't come out, you didn't come into this church from a church that praises the Lord the way that we praise the Lord, and it took you a little time to kind of learn how to praise. Am I right? Do we learn how to praise God? I can remember when I first came to church and the clapping of the hands and lifting of the hands, that was all strange to me. And I didn't do it the first couple of times I was in a church that did it. But eventually, you learn. You bring yourself into a discipline, and you learn to praise God. Am I right now? You learn how to do these things. He teaches you. He trains you to draw the bow of God. He trains you how to walk. And that's what this second one is praise. Just quickly. Let's look at it. Second Chronicles, chapter 20. Second Chronicles. I'll give you a last. Chapter 20. You know the story of Jehoshaphat. Jehoshaphat was king of Israel, or Judah. And it came about, and you just turn it, I'm just reading the first verse. And it came about after this that the sons of Moab and the sons of Ammon, together with some of the sons of the Midianites, came to make war against Jehoshaphat. And the Bible says there was a multitude of people there. A multitude of people that came against him. And it says that the first thing that Jehoshaphat did was make his attention towards the Lord. He sought the Lord. How many realize that when the enemy comes, you have a tendency to begin to seek the Lord? And he began to seek the Lord. And he called a fast. He wanted everybody seeking the Lord. See, when we come into warfare, it's time for everybody to seek the Lord. Then the Spirit of God came upon a prophet, I'm about in verse 14, named Jehaziel. The Spirit of God came upon him, and he began to prophesy. And the first thing that he said, the very first thing that Jehaziel began to say is, do not fear or be dismayed. I want to tell you that. When you learn praise and the purposes of praise, you won't be fearful and you won't be dismayed. You'll be anxious for nothing. Because you'll understand that the battle really isn't yours anyway. And you can try it all you want to in your flesh, but if you stay in the flesh, you'll never win the battle because your weapon will never become divinely mighty and powerful. So the first thing he says is don't fear. Fear not. And then he goes on, and I'm just going to read verse 19 here, or maybe just a little bit more. But he said, stand still and see the salvation of the Lord. And then in verse 19 he says, and the Levites from the sons of the Kohathites and of the sons of Korahites, what'd they do? They stood up to praise the Lord God of Israel with a very, what kind of praise? Loud. Loud voice. Why does it need to be loud? Is God hard to hear him? No, but the devil sometimes is, isn't he? How many times do you have to speak to the devil sometimes again to do something? Huh? Well, say it so he can hear it. Learn to praise God with a loud voice. Is that all right? Well, what happened when they began to praise God with a loud voice? You know the story. I don't have to read it all. Just drop down 21. When he had consulted with the people, he appointed those who sing to the Lord and those who praised him in holy attire as they went out before the army and said, give thanks to the Lord for his loving kindness is everlasting. And when they began singing and praising the Lord set up an ambush against the sons of Ammon, Moab, and Mount Seir who had come against Judah. So they were routed. And what happened is the spirit of confusion came upon them. They started killing each other. It took them 4 days just to get destroyed. And it didn't come from a bit getting fearful, but it came from his praising God. And if you don't learn to praise God, then you again have been removed of one of your weapons of warfare, and now instead of five, you've got three. How many of you hear what I'm saying now? First one, praise. Second one is praise. Third one is worship. Worship. We talked about this last week. There's not a whole lot of reason for me going back into this. Jesus said, in vain do they worship me. He says, they give me lip service. They serve me with their lips. But their what? Heart is far from me. In vain do they worship me. He says what they're really doing is the traditions of men. Folks, let me tell you something. A worship service is not to him. A worship service, like we talked about last week, a worship service is getting your heart fixed on God. That's why we begin the praise service. The praise service starts first. Our body has the opportunity to praise God with all of our might. Then we move into the realm where we don't have to concentrate on all this stuff, but we can get before God and we can concentrate on Him and our hearts and our minds can be affixed to Him. There's praise and there's worship. It can all be vain. You have to train yourself to pray. You have to train yourself to pray. You have to train yourself to worship. You can't be consumed with that one on your right or that one on your left. You can't be looking up here at me and seeing what I'm doing. You can't be watching the praise thing when it comes to worship time. When it comes to worship time, there's nobody but you and God. There shall be no gods before me. There comes a time in worship when we are fixed to Him. If there's anything between you and God when we come into worship, then it's vain. So worship has to be one of the things that we come into. Do we understand that St. John chapter 4 says this, that the Lord seeketh such to worship Him. What kind is He seeking? Those that worship Him in spirit and in truth. Spirit and in truth. And if we refuse to enter into that, then what we're doing then, instead of five errors, we've got two. How am I doing? Am I telling you the truth? And the enemy just continuously begins to rob our weapons. He begins to take away the arrows that God put within us to come against the kingdom of darkness. He loves bad worship. The enemy does. The enemy loves it when you don't pray. The enemy loves it when you don't pray. Because there's no arrows going out. There's nothing that's coming forth to poke any holes in the kingdom of darkness. First one's prayer. Pray. Third one. What is it? Fourth one. Giving. Jesus said, lay not for yourself treasures on earth, but lay up for yourself wealth. Treasures which are in heaven, where moth and rust doth corrupt. We've got to learn to give, not out of the law, but out of the heart. The tithe is the Lord's, and it's holy. But it's when you give it cheerfully that it really becomes the weapon. Your flesh says, don't give. Your flesh says, I need this for my bills. The devil says, you need that for your bills. What does the Spirit of God say? Give, and it shall be given unto you. Ask. Press down. Second together. Run over. Shall men give unto your business. Out of the heart, from the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaks. When we give from our heart, you are making a declaration. You're making a declaration of the principalities and powers. I'm not mine. I've been bought with a price. What I have is not mine anyhow. It's the Lord. And I'll take it and I'll give it. We've got to learn to give, not because it's a must, but from our heart, we learn to give. You don't give according from the heart, because not because you know you're supposed to, but learn to give because you want to. How many know you have to learn to do this? You didn't come into church, say, boy, I can't wait to give tithes. You come into church saying, I don't know about this tithing stuff. Some of you have been here for 5 years and you're still wondering about this tithing stuff. And this is what the enemy's done to you. So you remove the other one, and then the devourer is loose now. How many arrows you got? One arrow left. Is this good? This is the difference of demons or angels in your house, folks. I'm telling you, this is the truth. We've got to learn to give out of our heart, understanding that it is making a declaration to the kingdoms of darkness. It's not mine anyhow, it's the Lord. You pay tithes. Then if you get in trouble, then you come and see us, and we'll help you. But you better pay tithes. If you're not tithing, you might not want to come see us. Because the first thing we're going to ask you is what? Are you? See? Because I understand the principle. There's principles of warfare. There's principles of warfare. He says, I'll train you. And you learn to give, don't you? Did you learn to give? Just like you learn to shoot an arrow, just because like you've learned to do anything that you've excelled in, you learn to give. There are excellent givers and there's givers. There are excellent archmen and there's just archmen. First one, prayer. Second one, praise. Third one, worship. Fourth one, giving. Fifth one, fellowship. Fellowship and assembling yourselves together. We got to look at Hebrews chapter 10. Hebrews chapter 10, and there's many, many scriptures we could of course turn to. John, 1 John talks a great deal about fellowshipping. In Hebrews chapter 10, I want to read verse 24 and 25. Let me preach today till I'm done. What we've got to learn is that when we come together, we provoke one another into love and good works. It's the coming together that provokes me to do better. It's the coming together that will provoke you to do better. When you see somebody else doing better, that'll provoke you to do better. When I'm around people that are doing well, I want to do well. When I'm around people that are quoting scriptures and living by the Word of God, and I see them prosper, and I see their hearts fixed on God, that's what I want. But how many understand and realize and know that if I get around the other influence, if I get around those that do not worship God, that do not come before Him righteously, what will I end up being like? I'll be like them. And they'll provoke me into hate and to bad work. You're provoked by what you're around. Verse 24. And let us consider how to stimulate. King James Bible says provoke one another to love and good work. Next verse. Not forsaking. This is how it's done. This is how we do this, by not forsaking our own assembling, or the assembling of ourselves together, as is the manner or the habit of some. But encouraging one another, and all the more as you see the day approaching. Now, if you're waiting for some mystical day to come upon you, it will. But how many realize that there are many days right now? Many days right now that come upon us. And if you wait for your child to find one of those days, your child will find one of those days. If you can avoid your child finding one of those days, if you will right now purpose in your heart and train yourself to assemble together with the saints of God, you'll be amazed how many of the enemy's attacks you can avoid just by being provoked to love and good works by the saints of God. When we come together and we minister together, you're getting the Word of God. You're getting the fellowship of the saints. You're getting the love of God. You're getting touch. You're getting communion. You're getting prayer if you need it. There are so many things that happen in the assembling of ourselves together. And this is what we've got to have. Because if we don't fellowship together, if we don't spend time with one another, then we're not provoked into love and good works. We're provoked into hate. We're provoked into bad works. Our children go the wrong way. The last thing that we'll do if we don't come here, or took somewhere and get provoked to a place that provokes us. Now we got an empty bow. What good is an empty bow without an arrow? Huh? Throw it? I don't know. What can you play it? You're hearing my point. You have been disarmed. You don't understand what in the world's going on. Well, here's what's going on. You have no weapons in your arsenal. You haven't trained yourself to war. You're in a battle and you don't know what to do. You have no weapons. Look with me. Scripture I want to look at, Psalm 78. You can have the weaponry, and we've got it. You can have all these things, but not use it. And that's a lot of what's happening right now in the body of Christ. We have the weapons of warfare. But what we do is when the day of battle comes, we don't use them. In Psalm 78, in verse 9, the sons of Ephraim were archers, equipped with bows, yet they turned back in the day of trouble, or the day of battle. They did not keep the covenant of God and refused to walk in His law. Let me help you understand that. They had the weapons, but they refuse the covenant and the law, which is the error. Of the law of God's ways. Let me, if I say God's ways instead of the law, you'll understand it. God's law is God's ways. If we'll shoot the ways of God at the enemy, we'll shoot holes into his purposes. We'll deceive him. But I don't care how many arrows you got. I don't care how much you've learned to praise God. I don't care how much you've learned to pray. I don't care how much teaching I can give you. If you don't use it, what good is it? You're disarmed. You're out there. You put these in the cupboard for me now. We need our weapons ready. We need our weapons loaded and ready. Now, I want to give us some things, and then we're just about done. I've got seven attacks here of the devil. I've got seven spiritual things that will come against you. I'm going to stick them to that. and I'm going to shoot them in just a second. But how many of you have ever had an attack on your home or on your children? If you will take these five arrows that I've given you, I promise you, you can defeat the attack on your home or on your children. If you will pray, if you will praise, if you will worship, if you will give, and if you will fellowship, I promise you, your children will come out okay. I promise you, your home will get in order. Am I right now? Okay. How many of you have ever had an attack at the workplace? But if you pray, and if you praise, and if you worship, and if you give, and if you fellowship, you can overcome the attack at the workplace. How about the attack of health? Anybody ever been sick? Five of us. Attack on your joy and peace. How about attack on your finances? How about attack by the personal oppressing spirit? In other words, that thing that just won't leave you alone. That thing, that iniquity that got birthed in you and that you're working at and you're fighting with, that thing that causes you more heartache and more trouble than anything else. That personal oppressive spirit. How about it? That one? Yeah, that one. Okay. How about the area strong man? Do you believe that there's an area strong man here? Do you believe there's a principality and a power over this area? Amen. And you see what it's going to take, as Luke 11 tells us, is there's somebody that's going to come along that's stronger than him, that's got better armor and better weapons than him. What they'll do is attack him. Then they'll take away his armor, and they'll plunder his kingdom. You read Luke 11 and see if that's not what it says. There's a people that's going to come along with a bow. They're going to attack. They're going to plunder. And they're going to take his armor away. And they're going to rule this place. And they're going to reign this place because there's going to be a spirit of God. Because the devil's going to have a cold shot in him. And he won't be able to stay together. Have I done all right today? This is the difference. Now I'm telling you, demons or angels in your home. One more point. How many of you have ever been to church and saw the preacher take a bow and arrow and then, before I shoot, let me ask the question, does anybody have an audience capacity today? All right. What's the first arrow that I shoot? Prayer. I got to pray about it, right? I don't care which one of those things it is, I have got to pray about it. All right? I shoot an arrow into the darkness.